On today's episode of the Kribo Shoe Podcast, Pokemon Sword and Shield. Another episode of the Kribo Shoe Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chad. How's it going?
It's going good.
Awesome. We got a fun show today. We're going to be talking all about Pokemon Sword and Shield. We've been playing it as much as possible ever since it was released, so we're going to be talking all about the newest Pokemon games. Before we get into that, though, we want to start off with what we've been playing. What have you been up to lately?
Pokemon Sword is what I've been up to. We'll talk about that in the main topic, but other than that, I have beaten Luigi's Mansion 3.
Oh, awesome.
And absolutely loved it. It was incredible.
Yeah, so it's the last episode. We were talking about Luigi's Mansion 3, and it's great to hear that you've beat it. I have not beat it yet. I've definitely gotten a lot further, and I agree. It's an outstanding game. I think it's my favorite Luigi's Mansion game.
Oh, no doubt it's mine. Yeah, I love the hotel, how they have it set up. And I can go ahead and spoil the ending if you'd like.
Oh, no, so. Thanks. But not only that, we of course, also enjoy the multiplayer in it as well.
Multiplayer, yes. I am very much enjoying the multiplayer. It is awesome.
I've played some more Luigi's Mansion 3 since we last talked. I'm in the sand level now.
I did not love that level.
Okay, I've just gotten into it, so I haven't even played in it yet.
Yeah.
And still been keeping up with Ring Fit Adventure as well, just plugging away at that. And, of course, I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Shield. So
very cool.
Let's go ahead and move on into recent pickups. You picked up anything interesting lately?
So I did pick up the Pokemon Switch Lite, the Pokemon Sword and Shield Switch Lite that they came out with.
Yes, we both did.
Both did. That is awesome. Yeah, I unboxed it and everything, took a look at it. I'm not playing on it. I just put it back in its packaging. But blue on one side, red on the other, and I think it's awesome with the character designs, the legendaries.
Yes.
On the back of it, it looks really good.
I agree. And same thing. I took it out and admired it and then put it back in its case. And it's a real shame because it's a beautiful system. I just can't bring myself to get it, you know, sweaty and dirty or risk dropping it or something. It's just too pretty.
You know, so. I always play with clean hands, of course, in handheld mode.
Right.
Even my Switch, you can tell where my hands have been on it after 3 years or whatever it's been now. So I'm afraid if I played with it, it's going to rub off those designs on the back.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. So for now, it's just going to live safely in its box. I would love to display it someday, though.
Oh, yeah. It'd look great in a display case. The other things I picked up were the latest addition to the Smash Amiibo. I believe it was Simon, Incineroar, and the new Crom.
That's right. That same thing. So we've got the exact same pickups this time. What did you think about these three new Amiibo?
So I just knew Incineroar was going to be my favorite, but I was wrong. Simon is my favorite. But I think all three, even Crom, are highly detailed and worth the extra $3 they're charging for them. They do just doing so good with those new Amiibo these days.
Yeah, no, I agree. I really thought Incineroar was the only one I was even excited about picking up, to be honest. But I'm very impressed with all three of these. And like you said, Simon does kind of steal the show. This is a very well-designed Amiibo, I think. I love the way they have his whip and everything. He's just, I don't know, it's one of the better-looking Smash Amiibo, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on into news. So we got just a few items here. I thought we'd start off by, letting everyone know that Nintendo's new Tokyo store is opening up this week. And it's kind of crazy, but there's never been a Nintendo store in Japan, of all things. The Nintendo store in New York has been the only retail location for Nintendo, but they are getting a new Tokyo store this week. And I don't know if you've heard or seen anything about this. There's already a couple of YouTube videos of people kind of looking at the outside of it, and it looks pretty neat.
I have, yeah. I've seen some very cool videos. One was kind of a in-store tour, and then the others was just some of the statues and some of the artwork they had on the windows and everything. And I believe there's a little Animal Crossing, some Animal Crossing statues in there.
There is.
Isabelle and Tom Nook. And oh, I have an excuse to go to Tokyo. I have to go there eventually.
I agree. And it, from the looks of the video I saw, there's just a lot of, you can tell, just exclusive items at this store that you wouldn't be able to find anywhere else. Especially for this podcast, the Karibo Shoe podcast. I noticed there's a whole line of Mario stuff, and a lot of them have him in Karibo Shoe. I would just love to get some of this stuff.
Same here. It looks great.
But yeah, this store looks awesome. I think it definitely looks smaller than the New York store, but I would love to visit it someday. And I just noticed the person filming it, it looks like there's right next door, there's a Pokemon Center, and this, it looks like it's in a mall or something. And then there's also like a Capcom store right next to it. So I mean, this would just be a great place to go if you're into this kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Yeah, it was very cool.
Hopefully someday we'll get to visit.
Oh yeah, no, that's the plan.
The next item I had here is that the Game Awards nominees are out now, and this is something that we usually kind of get excited about every year because it seems like Nintendo will a lot of times throw in a surprise announcement at the Game Awards, so I'm always kind of interested in keeping tabs on it. So I thought we would just talk about a few of the highlights of the nominees as far as Nintendo's concerned. So Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was nominated for Game of the Year as well as Best Fighting Game. And I was wondering if Smash would miss out on the Game Awards because it came out after the Game Awards last year. It didn't come out this year, but it looks like it is eligible this year. So I actually think, I was looking at the other games on the best game list, and I think Smash has a chance.
I do as well. Yeah, I was looking at some of the other games, and while I'm mainly a Nintendo-focused fella, the other games still didn't. I haven't heard enough about them as I have about Smash.
So. We'll see. I mean, the hype's definitely died down a little bit a year later, but I could see Smash taking this in a way.
Yeah, I think it's a good year for it.
Right. Another thing I wanted to talk about was Link's Awakening was nominated for Best Action Adventure Game and Best Art Direction. I kind of think if this has a chance, if this is more likely to win one than the other, I think Best Art Direction. I think this is a really cool looking game and very unique, so I could see it maybe taking the prize.
Right.
Of course, we also had the Best Family Game category, and hey, Nintendo's going to win this because they are all the nominees. So the nominees are Luigi's Mansion 3, Ring Fit Adventure, Super Mario Maker 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and Yoshi's Crafted World. So, I mean, one way or another, Nintendo's taking this award.
So if you had to pick the winner out of this category, which would you choose for Best Family Game?
You know, I would probably, it's hard for me to say because my kids are too little to play games with me, but I think it'd be a lot of fun, you know, if my boys was a little older to play either Luigi's Mansion 3 or Super Mario Maker 2, maybe building some levels together. I could see that'd be a very fun thing to do as a family. So I think one of those two would probably get my pick.
Right. Luigi's Mansion 3 would take the victory for me.
Right, yeah.
Super Mario Maker 2, I can get a little bit of an attitude sometimes.
Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3 seems like it'd be a little more chill.
I'm very surprised Ring Fit Adventure made the list, to be honest.
Yeah, I am too. It's a single player game. Yeah. I mean, all in their ads and stuff, they show everybody sitting around, but in reality most people don't want to watch you exercise. So,
exactly.
I was a little surprised to see that on there as well. Of course, I also want to mention that the Untitled Goose Game was nominated for Best Indie Game. I kind of hope this wins, but we'll see.
I really thought this was going to be Game of the Year, but anyway, I guess we'll settle for this.
And then lastly, Fire Emblem Three Houses was nominated only for one category, Best Strategy Game. I was a little surprised by this. I honestly thought this might be nominated for Game of the Year. So
I really thought that at first, but it seemed like the hype died down really fast for this game.
Okay, yeah. But I would think still this would have a great chance of winning this Best Strategy Game award. I could really see it taking it away.
I hope so.
So we're excited about that, and of course, just the chance that Nintendo will announce something new will have us tuned in for sure. Then I wanted to get, we're going to go ahead and kind of move into Pokemon because some sales numbers for Sword and Shield have been released as of today. So Pokemon Sword and Shield have sold 6 million copies, and this was initially reported in the first week, and I got to thinking that's a little strange because it hasn't been out for a full week yet. It came out last Friday. But they later came out and clarified that this is only for the first weekend, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it sold 6 million copies in 3 days, Chad.
That's insane.
Yeah, this is pretty impressive, I will say. So it is easily the fastest selling game on the Nintendo Switch. It beat out Super Smash Bros. Ultimate's previous record of 5 million copies in the first week.
It smashed the Smash. That's crazy.
It did. And just for a little bit more context, so Pokemon Let's Go games, they sold 3 million copies in their first week. So this is, you know, doubled that launch. And I thought that was impressive on its own. And then also just kind of more historical, so Pokemon X and Y, which were the first main Pokemon games on the 3DS, they sold 4 million in their first week. And then Pokemon Sun and Moon, for some reason, they don't show the first week sales. Everything I saw was the first 12 days, and it sold 7.2 million copies. So I think this is going to probably beat both of these games. Well, it's already beat X and Y. I could see it beating Sun and Moon in 12 days. I think it'll sell more than 7.2. So.
And, you know, there was a lot of controversy over this game, of course.
Exactly.
But it doesn't seem like it has hurt the sales numbers at all.
Not at all. And, of course, we contributed by buying 2 copies of this
game. I don't want to talk about it.
So, yeah, that's all the news items we have. And then normally we'd go ahead and start talking about new releases, upcoming games we're excited about. But really, there isn't any. Pokemon Sword and Shield is kind of the last big release as far as stuff we're excited about. And it's going to be a month or two before there's anything on the horizon. So this is a perfect time to not only enjoy Pokemon Sword and Shield, but for me to go back and play a lot of the games that I haven't completed yet. So, again, nothing really new to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will be talking all about Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. Okay, Chad, it is time to discuss Pokemon Sword and Shield. Now, these games we have been anticipating for quite some time. Even last year, we knew that with Let's Go that they were fun and stuff, but we knew a brand new game was coming this year, and it is out now, and we've been playing it in all our spare time, I would say, and we've been really enjoying it, and we just want to talk about our thoughts on the game so far.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so first of all, which one did you buy, or did you buy both?
I bought the double pack. It comes with both Sword and Shield.
Right, so I guess, and I did the same, so I guess the more of the question would be, which one of you started playing?
Sword, yeah.
Sword, okay, and I've been playing Shield, so this is perfect. We're going to be able to trade some stuff around.
Exactly, that's the plan.
Exactly, and about how far are you in the story so far?
I am probably about 9.5 hours in, but that's only with three gems completed, 3 badges.
Okay, so I've just done the fire gem.
Just done the fire gem, yes. I've just completed that.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm probably an hour or two behind you. I'm probably 7 or 7.5 hours or so, and I've just beat the water gem.
I don't remember what it's like been playing other Pokemon games. This one feels like it's taken me longer to get going, though, or something. I don't know what it is. Well, maybe I'm just taking my time, I think.
I'm definitely doing the same, but also, we're going to get into it, but the wild area, I just keep going back there. And you know, in previous Pokemon games, you beat one gym, you're just, let's go to the next one, let's go to the next one. And with here, I'm like, well, I'll go back to the wild area for a little bit and mess around. So
that's what
it's definitely making it last longer for me as well. But I've been really enjoying my time with it. I was curious which starter you ended up picking of the three.
So I originally chosen to go with Sobble, and then I chose Scorbunny. Then when the list popped up on the screen, which starter do you choose? All three were up for grabs. I didn't know which one I was going to choose.
Oh, I know. That little video they showed, the three, that was really cool. I thought that's very unique, and it made me love all three of them as well. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, and it just killed me, but I ended up going with Scorbunny.
So. Okay. Okay, very nice.
Choose the rabbit.
So I had been thinking about choosing Grookey all along, but something about in the video and stuff, I just really took a liking to Sobble, and I just hemmed and hawed over those two, and I ended up picking Grookey, sticking with my guns, and I'm glad I did, because I have seen what Sobble evolves into, and it is not pretty. So again, I don't think that Grookey's evolutions are just the greatest, but I think they're a lot better than Sobble, so I'm happy with my choice.
You know, in Sun and Moon, I was very disappointed with Popplio's evolutions, so...
Right.
That was one reason I didn't want to go with Sobble, just because the water had let me down in the previous generation.
I see, yeah.
So,
well, I think water is letting down some people this time, too, because, I mean, I don't know what they were thinking with Sobble's evolutions. He looks horrible.
He looks bad. Yeah, I've seen him as well.
Yeah. That's good. So you're happy with your choice so far?
Score Bunny evolves into Raboot, I don't know what he evolves into from that. I'm spoiler free so far, I have no idea.
Very nice. Would you say he's your highest level Pokemon right now?
Him and one of my other ones, I don't remember the name, are level 32. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, mine's definitely my highest leveled one as well, and I'm very happy with what I picked. You know, I started. My first Pokemon I ever chose was Bulbasaur, so I do kind of a soft spot for the grass types.
Yeah.
And I've been really happy with Grookey. What are some of your favorite Pokemon so far that you've come across? I mean, we've just seen a small selection of everything that's been available because we're still fairly early on. But I have grown attached to some already. I was wondering if you had.
Right, yeah. No, I definitely have. I'll be honest, I'm not just the biggest Pokemon fan, so a lot of these Pokemon, I'm not sure if they're new ones or not.
Right,
but the ones that I have chosen are some of the newer ones.
Okay, yeah, awesome.
But, of course, Raboot, whenever Scorbunny evolves into.
Right, his second evolution.
I really like him. Yeah, yeah. He looks like he's wearing a hoodie, so he's always got his hands in his pockets like he's a tough guy.
I had not seen this until earlier tonight. We were actually playing a little Pokemon before recording, and I had no idea what Scorbunny evolved into, and I really like the Raboot. I think that's a great choice there.
He looks pretty cool. I also like Dreadnought, the turtle. He's one of my powerhouse, especially for my water type.
Me too. And on the subject of Dreadnought, I'll go ahead and bring up one of mine. I really liked his the base Pokemon of Dreadnought. I really like Choodle, I think is his name.
Yeah.
I think he was just very, very cute. And, you know, I've heard that Squirtle is not in this game, but I think Choodle is a good replacement as a turtle water type.
I think so. He's really got an attitude to you. He does, in the wild, he'll just charge right to you. Yes.
Exactly. And then, like you said, Dreadnought, I mean, he's just kind of a tank. So
yeah, exactly.
I agree with you on that one.
And finally, I think Corviknight is my favorite Pokemon in the game that I've seen so far.
Oh yeah, Corviknight is really cool.
So that's the Raven Pokemon, and it's one of the final evolutions. I can't remember what the Rookidee, and then
that's right.
I can't remember the other ones, but Corviknight is the final evolution. That's also the taxi Pokemon that can help you fast travel around the land.
Yes, I agree. I definitely want this Pokemon in my party, and I'm currently trying to level up my bird to evolve into.
Yeah, same here.
I don't know why I can't think of the first evolution from that. It's something with a squire in it, but I don't remember exactly what it is. A couple that I really like is, my Grookey has evolved once into Thwacky, and I really like him too. I really like how when he comes into battle, he's got two, like, I don't know if they're like drumsticks or chopsticks or whatever, but when he jumps into battle, they're in his hair. They're like tied up in like a little bun, and then as he comes in, he grabs them out of his hair, and they're kind of like his weapons.
Yeah.
I just think it looks cool how he jumps into battle.
I'm wondering where he got those, because I think before he's only got one, now he's got two.
Yeah, then he gets two. Yeah, he starts out as Grookey with just one, now he has two, and when he takes them out of his hair goes into like a mohawk. And I don't know, I think he's pretty cool.
That is neat. The only thing I didn't care about him was his color combination.
Yeah, he's not the best color.
Very, very odd combination of colors there.
Yeah, I'm wondering kind of what his final evolution is going to be, because he's still, even with his first evolution, is pretty skinny, and I always thought maybe he'd turn into like a gorilla or something, but I really don't know at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Another one I really like, and this is just the base Pokemon. I've actually evolved him, and I don't care for him as much, but I really liked a Yamper, the little corgi dog type Pokemon. I thought he was really cool.
Yeah, I was not a big fan. I like electric Pokemon, but I didn't really care for that one.
Yeah, well, corgis in real life are my favorite dog, so this was just perfect for me. But again, I evolved him, and he just looks like more like an, I don't know, almost like a Dalmatian or something now. I don't care for him, so I put him in a box.
Oh wow, yeah, I haven't seen his evolved form yet.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. But anyway, it's all fine. I really did like the Yamper though, and I already mentioned Choodle, and another one I like, and I don't think he is actually a new Pokemon, but is Panchum, I don't know exactly how you say that, but he's the little panda bear Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I like his base, the base Pokemon and his evolved form. So I really like him.
Yeah, I can't remember his evolved form name, but he is a tank. He's huge.
I saw that you've already evolved yours, and it just makes me really glad about my choice to have him in my party. And then one of the other ones, that I don't know why I ended up liking this one so much, but I really like Carcole. He evolves from a Roly-Coly, and I am pretty sure this is a new Pokemon for this game. And his first evolution is Carcole, and I just love it because it's just like a big container full of coil with eyes on it. It's the funniest thing. I don't know. I just love how he looks. It
reminds me of a mine cart from Donkey Kong.
Exactly. Yes, that's what it reminds me of. Just piled full of coal with a couple eyes on it. And it's really dumb, but I really like
it. I took a liking to this Pokemon as well. Yeah. I don't have one yet, but as soon as I first saw him.
He is a powerhouse, man. Yeah. Oh, I just absolutely love him. So, so far, of course, we've just seen a fraction of the Pokemon in this game. I'm sure my opinions will change, and I'll find some I like even more in some of these, but right now those are kind of the ones I'm enjoying. So I guess now let's just kind of talk about kind of what do you think about the game so far? You know, what are you kind of liking about it? What do you dislike about it? You know, how do you feel about it?
So just from the very beginning and stuff, as soon as you walk out of your house and you can just see the landscape and the detail in the background, I just thought that was a nice touch. And I'm really glad that they kept the Pokemon where you can see them and not no more of the random encounters and everything.
I agree.
So, I mean, all the Pokemon, you can just see them out there in the grass and everything. But there still are, sneaking through the grass, and there'll be a little exclamation point. So there are some random encounters if you...
But you can avoid them.
You can, exactly. Right.
And one thing about... And I thought, okay, well, I'll just never go to one of those little exclamation points. But I found out that if you actually go to those more random ones, sometimes the Pokemon is more rare or a little more powerful. So I actually find myself going to them sometimes.
Yeah,
so
I do too.
I think it's a really good balance of how it used to be, where it's all random encounters versus Let's Go, where it was no random encounters. I think this is a perfect kind of mix.
Right, because it really is nice being able to see the Pokemon and being able to avoid them if you want to.
This could just be me, but to me, they seem like they blend in and seem more realistic in the grass than they did in Let's Go, to me. They're kind of more hidden by the grass.
There's a lot of times when I can't tell what's in there in the grass.
Yes,
yeah.
So I do kind of like that as well. There's a little bit more of a mystery, like, what is that? You know, and they're in the grass, and you can go in there and see.
So. Right, yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you kind of how the game starts out. It just kind of, to me, I think the towns so far have all been really unique. And they just, even though there's still not a ton to do in the towns, but they just seem so much bigger to me and more grand. And the same thing goes with the Pokemon gyms. They're just absolutely massive. And they feel like a big deal, where to me in past games they didn't.
Right, so, yeah.
I agree with you kind of on how the look of the world and everything. I think has been really impressive so far. Getting more into the gyms, I really like kind of how much of a big deal they seem like. You know, you got a big crowd cheering for you, and now when you go to the gyms, you can now Dynamax your Pokemon. And I wasn't sure if I was going to use this or really like this this new way to use your Pokemon or not. But I've really really enjoyed it in the gym battles.
Yeah, no, I think it's really fun whenever you're taking on the gym master and everything, and you can Dynamax their Pokemon, you Dynamax yours. It looks wow, this is a Pokemon battle here in the stadium and everything. It always reminds me of soccer.
It definitely does.
I have a feeling it's because the game is kind of off of, I guess it'd be England and everything.
Right.
And football or soccer is a big thing over there. So I wonder if that had any impact on that stadium.
I really think it did. And I mean, you even have to change into like a gym jersey and shorts, you know, before you can go into battle. And you had to choose your number and everything.
That was a nice touch.
I thought that was really neat. And, you know, just being able to customize something. I ended up putting like my birthday as my number. And I just thought that was a really neat touch that you can kind of customize that. It looks like you can buy different jerseys and stuff too if you want to kind of, you know, have a unique look even in the gym battles.
And I haven't played just a whole bunch of Pokemon games in the past, but it's kind of the gym challenges. Is that kind of a new thing toward these, like, not to give many spoilers, but like on the grass gym, whenever you're herding all the Lulu?
Yeah, to me that was pretty new. I don't know if some other games have done it. I mean, there's always been like little puzzles to do, but this is a little grander scale to me. And it's kind of, I wasn't expecting to be herding sheep, you know, to face a gym leader. So yeah, I do like kind of how unique everything seems so far.
And Wooloo was, I personally didn't really care for that's the new sheep Pokemon.
Right,
I really didn't care for it.
Fluff, yeah.
But it really seemed to be an important Pokemon during that first part of the gym. I
Definitely.
Mean, everywhere you went, there was a Wooloo doing something. So.
Yeah, I know it, yeah. And just kind of talking about the character customization, I've been really impressed with how much you can customize your character. And, you know, more so than in previous Pokemon games, and definitely Let's Go, there's a lot of different clothing options. And in one of the towns you get to kind of early in the game, you can go to a hairdresser and get a new haircut. And I've just really enjoyed kind of seeing what and buying different clothing options, trying to make my trainer kind of look like me in real life. And I've been really impressed with all the options that they have for your character.
You've done really well because it looks just like you.
Well, thank you. And also another thing I really like, and this has been in past games but wasn't in Let's Go, is not too long into the game, after I think maybe the second gym, you get access to the Rotom bike. And it lets you just move around a lot faster in the world. And that combined with the fast travel, which is just very convenient. I mean, it makes getting through and visiting past areas just a breeze compared to other Pokemon games.
I really like the bike when you're exploring the wild area and everything. It's just so handy.
Exactly. And talking about the wild area, and that is kind of the... Besides the Dynamaxing, that is the big new addition to this game, is this wild area. And I was surprised. I actually thought you might have to go, you know, maybe halfway through the game before you'd have access to it. But you get access to it, in probably the first hour or two.
Yeah.
And this is a place I just keep coming back to. It is just really, really neat. Of course, as we know, you can control the camera for the first time in a Pokemon game, and that's really neat. But I just love how huge it is, and just the variety of like weather and just species of Pokemon you'll run across in the wild area. It's really neat.
Yeah. When I first made it, it was actually nighttime. I don't know. I think you said it was raining and nighttime on yours too.
Yes.
So I thought that was really cool, and I don't know if I've seen it actually in the daytime yet. Every time I go back, it's always been nighttime.
Yeah,
there,
I'm always playing it late at night. You know, never playing it during the day, so I haven't seen it daytime.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. But as far as the Pokemon, I mean, every little area I go, there's a different Pokemon everywhere.
I know. It's just it's a great place to catch some Pokemon, and also it's a great place, especially at the start, to avoid Pokemon, because this is kind of reminds me of Breath of the Wild. If you started out in Breath of the Wild and went to an area you weren't ready for yet, those enemies would just destroy you. And it's kind of the same in the wild area. You'll run into you may be level 5, your Pokemon party will be maybe level 5 or something, and you'll run into an Onix or something that's level 30, and I mean, you just got to try to get out of there without him just destroying you, so there's some Pokemon that are like really tempting to try to get, but there's no chance of it until you get more powered up.
Right, yeah. So I ran into that quite a few times.
Yes, definitely. And sometimes it's hard to even escape from them because they're so much more powerful. It's like your Pokemon are scared to run away. Even.
Yeah.
So, of course, also in the wild area is where one of the other big new additions to this game is, and that's the raid battles. And you'll kind of just see these, I don't know, they'll be, anytime, maybe 4 or 5 of these little pods spaced all around the wild area that are lit up and have like a bright red, almost like a spotlight shining straight up. And if it's lit up like that, you know that you can go there and you can participate in a raid battle, which is new for the Pokemon games. And I've done a little bit of these by myself with computer. They're 4-player battles, and you can play with 3 other friends, or you can have the computer's characters join you to help you out. And I've done some of these by myself, and then we were able to actually play some tonight together, and I'm really enjoying these raid battles.
I haven't played just a whole lot, but when we tried them out tonight, I thought it worked very well. We played some on the internet and then some on local co-op.
Yes.
I thought it worked pretty good. I really wasn't sure how I was gonna like that, but whenever I start finding more rare Pokemon, I think I'm really gonna get into it.
Yeah, and I've heard that's gonna be like either the only way or one of the only ways to get some of the rare Pokemon is finding them in these raid battles. So it's definitely something that I'm going to be keep checking back at as I get more and more powerful, because these raids go from pretty easy, like a 1-star raid, to very difficult, like a 4 or 5-star. And we breezed through a couple of 1 and 2 stars. We got on a 3-star and we just got wiped.
Yeah.
So it's definitely you gotta use some strategy, make sure you're bringing the right type of Pokemon in, or you'll just get destroyed.
Right, and as far as right now, I believe since the game was released until January, everyone that plays the game will have a better chance to encounter I think it's a Dynamax, Gigantamax. I still don't know all the differences between that, but a Butterfree.
A Butterfree, yeah. So, I haven't ran across it yet either. I've been looking.
I don't know what the chances are, but and then I think Pokemon Sword players will encounter a Gigantamax Dreadnought, and Shield players a Corviknight, which I am very jealous.
Oh, I can't wait.
So I think that would be some things to keep on going back and playing the game.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I agree. And, this wild area, I wasn't sure what to expect, but it has kind of exceeded my expectations, because to me, this is something that's going to make this game go from a, you know, a 20 or 25 hour game to more like a 40 or 45 hour game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I find myself just, you know, when I am in the wild area, I'll end up, you know, an hour will just pass by, you know, as I'm trying to catch Pokemon or participate in these raids, and time will just fly by. And so it is a lot of fun. And, you know, I don't know as far as like, will the Dynamax or Gigantamax Pokemon just be only in these games here, or will they go to future games? I could see them definitely not, you know, just being for these games, but I hope something like the wild area is something that will keep appearing in future games, because I think it has definitely breathed some new life into the Pokemon series.
I do too. It's something I do see some areas that they can improve on in the wild area, but yeah. I think it's a great start.
It definitely doesn't look the best, and it can be a little choppy. But as far as just the area, I really do like it.
One problem that I had with it was the Pokemon disappear when you get further away. They just totally disappear.
Yes.
I wish you could see it off in the distance, like, oh, that's where I'm going.
Exactly. So, yeah, that kind of plagues the entire game, is the pop-in is just really bad in this game. We've seen it on other Switch games be bad, too. I know Breath of the Wild has a bit of an issue with pop-in.
It does.
But it's... to me, it doesn't affect Breath of the Wild as much as it affects Pokemon. Because like you said, you're in this gigantic wild area. If you could look across and say, oh, look, across the lake, there's a Pokemon I've been trying to catch. And you could just, you know, get over there and try to get it. But you've got to be within, I don't know, 20 feet or something before a Pokemon will pop up. And it just kind of takes you out of the game a little bit seeing that. So that is a kind of a bummer, that how bad the pop-in is in this game, and especially in the wild area.
Right.
I'm hoping that... I don't know if they'll be able to improve it in this game or not, but in future games, it sure would be nice if they would be able to kind of make that less of an issue.
Right.
A couple of other... complaints I've had is just, to me, you know, they, one of the reasons, and again, we're not the kind of people that are going to get super upset about them not having the full Pokedex in this game, and that's not anything we're super concerned about like some others are. But, you know, they did say, when they said they wouldn't have all the Pokemon available in this game, that one of the reasons why was because they were really working on the animations, the battle animations, and I just have been pretty unimpressed. It seems just standard Pokemon stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As far as the animation, it's just nothing that's just super impressive to me. So I'm not exactly sure what they were talking about. Now, some of the Pokemon that are just, you know, roaming around freely, I think their animations are pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of neat. Like I was talking about Yamper, you know, he behaves like a puppy dog in the wild. He'll come up to you and wag his tail and kind of stand on his hind legs and stuff. And that really impressed me and makes me feel like, oh yeah, this is a, you know, this is a living, breathing dog Pokemon. He's acting just like a puppy, you know.
Right.
And I do like some of that stuff, but as far as the battle animations, it just seems like the same old to me.
It really does.
Yeah. I'm really hoping someday they will work on that and make them look a lot better. Just another couple of things that just not really a bad thing, just kind of disappointed me. And one of them is that, you know, there's no more Pokemon Go integration with this game. And I think it'd just be perfect for it to have something. I really liked how Pokemon Let's Go had a little bit of integration, and I really wish this game would as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And then, of course, Pokemon Let's Go, another thing that they had was that the co-op campaign where, you know, a second player with another Joy-Con could join in and help you. And that's great for kids who can't read yet, or if you want to play it with your spouse or girlfriend or something. It's just a great way to play Pokemon, and they've taken that out as well. You can see other friends and stuff in the wild area, but as far as the campaign, it's a single player thing. And I was hoping they would include co-op again there.
I forgot that they had actually added that to Let's Go. Yeah, that would have been nice if they would have included that in Sword and Shield.
Yeah, it sure would have been. But, you know, again, maybe it'll return in a future game. One other thing that I initially was, and I'm still not exactly sure how I feel about it, but I'm thinking that there may be a reason why they did it. And what kind of bothered me at first was that, you know, with the experience share and just how you get experience for anything you do, you know, even just catching a wild Pokemon, you gain experience from that, which is, they did that in Let's Go, but they hadn't done that previously. And I just found out that my team seemed like it was leveling almost too fast. And, you know, forget grinding. I didn't have to grind at all. Just catching the Pokemon that I wanted to catch, I was like over leveled when I get to a gym. But I'm thinking what it's actually going to do, maybe more than being a bad thing, is it's just going to make me switch out my Pokemon more often and try new, you know, try different Pokemon that I wouldn't try before. You know, I may have a lot different. I may have a team of, you know, six different Pokemon than I have right now later on in the game. So yeah. I'm just going to try to use it as an opportunity to just try out more Pokemon, you know, and just end up having a lot more of my Pokemon all leveled up versus just having six that are high level and everything else is just the level they were when I caught them.
So, right, yeah.
I think that's how I'm going to try to play it. And who knows? I mean, maybe some of the future gyms and stuff will get a lot more difficult. But right now, I mean, I'm just breezing through the story. So that initially I was thinking it's kind of a con, but I'm hoping that I'll be able to figure out a way to actually, you know, make it work for me.
Right, you know, when I first got toward the first of the gyms, I was afraid that my Pokemon were so overleveled they wouldn't listen to my commands anymore.
Me too,
it crossed
yeah.
my mind. I was like, oh boy, this could be, I don't know if it's going to work or not.
So. Yeah, and it's kind of scary because if you were just happened to, you know, if you really liked the wild area the first time you went there, you could get your Pokemon way overleveled, you know, if you just stayed there for a long time, and I think they would just stop listening to you. So it's definitely, it makes me want to go ahead, okay, maybe I should go to a few more gyms and then spend some more time in the wild area.
Right, right.
Or switch out some of my party, you know, that away. So
one thing that I think is pretty cool is the map and everything.
Oh, yeah.
The way it tells you when something is happening, it tells you where your next objective is. I really like that part about it. It tells you kind of where to go, because in previous games, I had actually gotten lost a few times.
Yeah, so, if you didn't play for a few days or something, you could kind of forget, like, yeah. Who do I need to talk to or where do I need to go? And that's a great addition for this game, and I think especially for the people that maybe spend a lot of time in the wild area, you know, they may play it for 3 or 4 days and only play in the wild area, they may forget where they were supposed to go in the story. So pulling up the map and it's showing where you need, you know, your next objective, I really, really like that as well.
And then it'll tell you if there's a sandstorm or a blizzard somewhere in the wild area and you have to find it, because there will be some different Pokemon there and everything.
Exactly. And again, just another thing I love about the wild area, and I love that they will tell you kind of what weather to expect there, is just, you know, depending on the conditions, there may be completely different Pokemon than the last time you were there.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on the game so far.
I think so. If anyone's thinking of getting the game, it's a great time right now, because for a while still, I don't remember when the cutoff is, you do get a Gigantamax Meowth whenever you buy the game.
That's right.
For free. So yeah. That's kind of cool.
Oh, I did think of two more bad things in this game.
Oh, no.
Number one, the Galarian Meowth is just... it's scary looking.
It's very scary looking.
And number two, there's a guy in all the gyms, and you will recognize him when you see him, because his head is a giant Pokeball, and he scares me.
I like him because he'll give you free Pokeballs.
I don't know. I think he's like one of them creepy guys that's like gives kids candy or something. I don't trust him just handing out these free Pokeballs. I just don't like how he looks.
I think at the end of the game, he's going to pull off, if that may be his head, I don't know, but you know, he's going to pull off the mask, if it's a mask.
Oh no.
Maybe it'll be a Galarian Meowth.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I don't trust him. Mr. Ball, I think is his name. I just don't trust him.
I believe it will be James from Team Rocket.
But yeah, no, like you said, it's a perfect time to get this game. There's nothing coming on the horizon, and I'm really enjoying this game. And as much as I loved Pokemon Let's Go, of course, the previous Pokemon game on the Switch, especially because it was mostly the nostalgia from the, you know, Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, and just the familiarity of it. But I'm enjoying this one just as much, if not more, because of all the newness of it. And it's just really fun, just, you know, not knowing what Pokemon I'm going to find, and not knowing which town I'm going to go to next, and just everything being new. I really, really am enjoying.
Yeah, same here. And I don't have just a whole lot to say about the game, because I still feel like I'm pretty new into it right now. I've only completed 3 gyms, but with not many releases on the horizon, I expect that our listeners will be hearing our progress in the game.
Definitely, yeah. We'll definitely have to follow up as we get further and further into the game. But yeah, that's kind of our first, you know, 10 hours or less of the game.
For sure.
And we're just very excited about it, and we'll be enjoying playing it, and also looking forward to just what's going to come out next year.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so that's going to do it for today's episode. We want to remind everyone that they can to visit our show page at anchor.fm/Kreboshoot podcast. Of course, you can find our podcast on all the popular podcast apps. If you enjoy the show, please rate us on Apple Podcast or on Google Podcast. You can email your questions or comments to the show at KariboShoePodcast@gmail.com. And we are on social media on Twitter at KariboShoePod. We're on Instagram at KariboShoePodcast. And we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/KariboShoePodcast. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.